Now we're holding on Gimel Amud Beis, the second line from the bottom. Now, we quoted yesterday a Mishnah from later in the Masechta that contrasts the Eidos Rishona and Eidos Achrona. The first Eidos and the last Eidos. The first Eidos meaning the Eidim that she was in Stira, that the woman was in Stira, which now makes her a Sota after Kinui. And the one that, and the Eidos Achrona, which would be Eidos that she actually became Tomei. Where we said that that last one requires only one aid, whereas the previous one, according to Rabbi Yeshua, at least, which we said was the halacha, requires two aid. So the Gemara says, it's the bottom of Gimel and Beis. Ezuhi Eidos Arishona, Zu Eidos Sira. So let's spell it out, actually. So now we're going to say a little bit differently. Eidos Rishona actually does not mean, Eidos Rishona, the one that requires two Eidim, Zu Eidos Stira, that refers to the Eidos that she was secluded with this man. Eidos Achrona, and what would be Eidos Achrona, Zu Eidos Tuma, that would be if there were Eidim that she actually became Tomei, where there we said you don't need two Eidim, one is enough. Now, the Kamashir Stira. So now, the Braisa says, what is the amount of time that they would have to be secluded in order for her to be Osir? Given that the whole idea behind the Stira is that she might have become Tomei, obviously if they were only in Stira for a second or two, then that wouldn't be enough. So therefore, what is the amount of time? So the Gemara says, Kedei Tuma, that is the amount of time to become Tomei, namely Kedei Bia, namely the amount of time for Bia. And you should know, when we say Bia, Kedei Ha'ara, we don't mean full Bia, as in Gemar Bia, as in all the way in, but only Kedei Ha'ara, only the amount of time it would take to do Ha'ara, which we learned actually in Yevamos, that there were two definitions of Ha'ara. The halacha was like the opinion that says that it means neshika satara. When there's first contact between the evarim, that would be kedei ha'ara. So the amount of time that it would take to do that. And what would be that amount of time? Kedei ha'kofas detho. The amount of time that it would take to walk around a palm tree. The Gemara is going to further down on the Amud is going to talk about what that means exactly. So that would be divrei Rabbi Shmuel. All of that is according to Rabbi Shmuel. All of that is appointed to Rabbi Shmuel, that would be the amount of time would be the time it takes to walk around a palm tree. Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi that we also have to add to that a little longer the amount of time that it would take for a Torah sinner. A woman, because of the Takana of Ezra, the Gemara mentions here and there, that a woman is supposed to wear a sinner, which is literally, in modern Hebrew, a sinner means an apron. So it could mean an apron-like undergarment. It could mean something like underwear, like we're familiar with, or whatever it is. It's something to preserve her tznius, even like when she's bending over or whatever. So Tosfos brings from the Yerushalmi, after that, because necessarily that has to be removed in order to do bia, then the amount of time would be kedei akofas dekol or all the various other amounts that we're going to mention in the Gemara over here. The Braisa continues, Rabbi Eliezer and kedei mezigas hakos. Rabbi Eliezer says it would be the amount of time that it would take to mix water into a cup of wine. As we know from all over Shas, they didn't drink their wine neat. They used to dilute it with water. So the amount of time that it would take to dilute that. Rabbi Yeshua and the Kedil Shtoise. Rabbi Yeshua says it wouldn't be the amount of time to mix it with water. And Rashi, by the way, points out over here, a kois over here, we mean a revis. So Rabbi Yeshua says Kedil Shtoise, the amount of time that it would take to drink the cup of wine. Then Azo and the Kedil Litzvos Beitza. Then Azo says it would be the amount of time that it would take to roast an egg. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kedela Goma, and Rabbi Akiva says, not how long it would take to roast it, but how long it would take to swallow down the roasted egg. The Pashtus, we don't mean necessarily a hard-boiled egg. The Pashtus, we mean that it was just roasted enough to be soft-boiled or whatever, where you could then swallow it down. So Rabbi Yeshua, so Rabbi Akiva would say that would be the amount of time. Rabbi Yehuda, Tosfos points out, by the way, that Rabbi Akiva was Ben Azai's Rebbe. So why are we putting Ben Azai before, why are we putting Ben Azai before Rabbi Akiva over here? Is because, practically speaking, roasting the egg comes before swallowing it, so therefore it puts them in that order. And then similarly, there are So the Tosfos says in general, though we may be going according to the order of eating and drinking. So therefore, we don't have to be bothered by the fact that the Panoyim here are mentioned out of chronological order. Even though, for example, Rabbi Shmuel belongs to the same generation as Rabbi Akiva. So why are we putting him before Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, who were his Rebbeim? Because we're going primarily according to the order of eating. So in other words, Rabbi Shmuel says something that has nothing to do with eating. He says about going around a palm tree. All the other ones mention something involving eating or drinking. Anyway, the Braisa continues. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and Pedelik Moya Sholosh Beitz and Zuachazu. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says it would be the amount of time that it would take to swallow 3 eggs one after the other. Is again, this is all these are the various shiurim for the amount of stira, for the amount of time that it would take to that it would take for her to be tame, that potentially that she could become tame, where therefore the stira is meaningful. By the way, this is very, even though nowadays we don't have the dinim of sota. And we learned on Beis and Beis that a husband should not warn his wife to not be alone with somebody, because if she does, then she's going to be stuck. These dinim are negaya nowadays as far as the question of yichud. If a man and woman are going to be alone together, for example, so the poskim nowadays, for example, talk about in an elevator. Is there a problem with an unrelated man and woman being together in an elevator? So some of the poskim are more makel, because even though the amount of time you could be in the elevator conceivably could be more than the amounts of time we're talking here, fine. But practically speaking, of course, that we do have to consider, you know, you also knew there would also be the time that it would take for him to seduce her, and just two people meeting casually on an elevator, just meeting for the first time in an elevator, that's not likely to happen. So therefore, there's not necessarily an issue with that. But there is this whole business of sheer stira does come up in that connection also. Anyway, the Gemara continues. The Braisa continues. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yirmi Omer, the Lichshav Garden Yima. The amount of time that we have a loss of in Yirmi actually says the Kedel Lichshav Garden Yima, the amount of time that it would take to tie together the loose ends of a broken thread. So if you have a weaver, and particularly a Gaudi is an expert weaver, so he's weaving cloth, and in the middle of one of the threads snaps. So instead of pulling out the whole thread and discarding it, what he does is he ties the two loose ends together in order to get it back. So he says that would be the amount of time that would be sheer stira. Chanin ben Pinchas, in the condition Toshit, you have to say pi a little pesam. Chanin ben Pinchas says it's the amount of time that it would take for a woman to stick her hand into her mouth to take out a splinter that might be stuck between her teeth. So that would be the amount of time. Next, Klimoy Omer. Klimoy is the name of one of the Chachamim. Klimoy is the name of one of the Chachamim. He has yet another shiur. Kedeshit Yadal Asal, little kicker, the amount of time that it would take for her to stick her hand into a basket to get out a loaf of bread. And further on, the Gemara is going to ask about a number of these. What kind of basket are we talking about? What kind of bread are we talking about? At the end of the Amud, the Gemara is going to go, and then the beginning of the next Amud, the Gemara is going to go into questions on a lot of these. Anyway, and please make control. Yeah, it would be better if you mute yourself here on me. There's a lot of background noise there. Okay. And Plimoy says, Apopishain Raya Vadova, even though I don't have a solid proof, now the Gemara is going to say soon that each of these Chachamim estimated it based on the amount of time that it would take him himself to accomplish Leah. So therefore, he said he used that for the shield. So Plimoy is saying, even though when I'm saying the amount of time it would take to take a loaf of bread out of a basket, I don't have a solid proof that it would be so, because just based on my personal experience, Zeicha Vadova, but there was a remez for it in a pasuk. Because because of a woman a zona up to a loaf of bread. So the simple meaning of the pasuk, Mephoshim explained, means something like a man gets involved with a zona. Eventually, he ends up losing all his wealth, and eventually, he gets to the point where he's down to his last loaf of bread because he spent all his money on her or on other such things. But so we see, in other words, the point is, Plimoy says, you see that there's a certain association in the pasuk between a loaf of bread and an isha zayna. Therefore, we have a remez for the idea that I'm saying that the amount of time for hara to actually commit the act with a zoina would be the amount of time it takes to take a loaf of bread out of a basket. Okay. So thus far the Braisa. So the Gemara says v'chol hani lomali. Now let's go back to the beginning of the Braisa when Rabbi Shmuel started by saying the amount of time is kadei tuma, kadei bia, kadei hara, kadei hakofas dekel. Why did he need to mention all those details? So the reason is three. We need all of them. The itana kadei tuma. If the Tana had only said the amount of time for Tumah, have aminik de Tumah to also va'arat susa, then you would think you have to consider not only the amount of time for the actual Tumah, for the actual act, you also have to add in the amount of time that it would take to convince her. After all, there's going to be some convincing, not that easy for a Jewish woman to commit znus. So therefore, so you would think that it means that you have to add in that time as well. Kamashmon kadei bia. Therefore, he says kadei bia. To inform you that no, you don't have to include the time of Kedei Arat Susa because we're assuming we're talking about where she's already previously been there, she's already friendly with the guy and is already willing to go through with it. After all, the whole reason why the husband warned her out of Sussui and Mishplaini is because he realized that they've been together, they've been alone often, or at least that there's a suspicion that they might be, and therefore that she might have been Mizana. So therefore, we don't have to include the Kedei Arat Susa. We don't have to include the amount of time that it would take to talk her in. So that's why it says Kedei Tumah. That's why it says Kedei Bia, rather. The E tonic Kedei Bia, but if it only said the amount of time for Bia, have Amin Kedei Gemar Bia, then you would think that it means Gemar Bia, the amount of time that it takes to go all the way in. Kamash Molam Kedei Hara, therefore, the Braisa continues with the word Kedei Hara, where we know that for almost all purposes in Halacha, Hara is equivalent to Gemar Bia. We look back in Yevamos, for example, that as far as Yevam, it's considered the equivalent. Once Hara has been accomplished, then she's considered his wife for all purposes, and for most other purposes in Halacha, also a notable exception being Shifcha Harufa, then also Hara is the equivalent of Gemar Bia. So therefore here also it's Kedei Hara. But then the Iyashmin Kedei Hara, Hava Amin Kedei Hara of Arat Susa, still you might think that still includes the amount of time to talk her in for that. In other words, that so Rashi explains at some length over here we would have thought that Kedei Bia would be everything that's involved in the process of Bia, talking her into it and doing Gemar Bia. And then you would say that, okay, so we're saying not Gemar Bia, but only Hara. Maybe still you need Arat Susa. Maybe still you need the amount of time that it would take to talk her into it. So that's why it says, Kamashma and Kedei Tumah. Therefore, it says only the amount of time for Tumah, which means just the amount of time for her to actually become Tomei. So therefore, in other words, Rashi explains why couldn't it have just said Kedei Tumah and that would be enough? Or why couldn't it just say Kedei Hara and that would be enough? Is because even if we only had Kedei Hara, you wouldn't know that it doesn't include the time to talk her into. So therefore you need all of those expressions to make it clear we mean only Bia, and within Bia itself we mean only Hara, we don't require Gemar Bia, and the point of that is Kedei Tumah, the point of that is because that's the minimum amount of time that would be required for her to become Tomei. And once we establish that, for Kama Kedei Hara, now that we understand, so the Iyashmin Kedei Hara, Havamin Kedei Hara of Arat Susa, if it only said Kedei Hara, you would still think that you need the amount of time that it takes to talk her into it. Kamashmolam Kedei Tumah, therefore it uses the expression Kedei Tumah to make it clear that we mean all we need is the time that it actually takes to become Tomei, which is only Hara, because Hara is enough for her to become Tomei. We're assuming, in other words, that there was already previously that he talked her into it, and therefore we don't need now when we have the Sira after the Pinui, we don't require the amount of time that it would take for Arat Susa. So Rashi teaches out why we need all three expressions. Then once we establish that, Kama Kedei Hara, now how much is the time for Hara alone is Kedei HaKofas Dekel, the time that it would take to go around the palm tree. And Rashi explains the reason why it didn't just say that to begin with is because then you wouldn't understand what is going around a palm tree have to do with her becoming Tomei. So therefore, we have to clarify the point of the minimum amount of time we're talking about is enough time for her to become Tame, and therefore for that we need Kadei, for that the practically speaking, in other words, the Tana of the, in other words, Rabbi Shmuel is telling us two different points. Number one, he's telling us what the actual practical amount is. He's putting it in terms of walking around a palm tree, keeping in mind, of course, in the times of Gemara, they didn't have any kind of accurate clocks or watches, so it's not like they could say that it's going to take X number of seconds or whatever. So he has to give it in terms of something that people will be familiar with from their experience. But then he has to give all the background behind it in order to explain why specifically is that shiur chosen, and the reason is because that is the shiur chosen. So the Gemara says what it means. Now, given all of that, then I have a contradiction then in that case. So we have the Braisa, we have Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, and we went through why Rabbi Shmuel phrases it the way he does. So now, Urmini, now I have a contradiction though to this Braisa. Another Braisa gives different shiurim, and many of them in the name of the same Tanoi. A Braisa says, Nistira, that when the woman is secluded, the Kama Shiur Stira Lo Shemayinu, now based on the Pasuk, you don't have an amount of time that it would take that the minimum amount for Stira, true Oyma Vahini Tma, but since the Pasuk continues, and she became Tame, had the Oyma Kadeh Tuma, Kadeh Bia, Kadeh Hara, Kadeh Chazoras Dekel, then you have to say it would be Nitma, would be Kadeh Tuma, the amount of time that it would take for her to become Tame, which in turn is Kadeh Bia, what is Tuma means that she had Bia, and as we said before, that means Kadeh Hara, not the complete Bia, but just the Hara is enough, because that's enough to ask her to her husband, and that amount would be Kadeh Chazoras Dekel, Dibir Rabbi Yezer. So Rabbi Yezer says it's the amount of time that it takes to walk around a palm tree. Now in the Braisa, at the top of the Amud, that was Rabbi Shmuel saying that. In that Braisa, Rabbi Yezer, it said Kedem Zigas Hakois. So that's the Urmini, that's what Gemara is going to point out. You have a contradiction where you have a number of the Tanurim who said one thing in the first Braisa are saying something completely different in the other Braisa. Rabbi Yeshua and Kedem Zigas Hakois. Rabbi Yeshua says it's the amount of time to mix water into a cup of wine, which is what Rabbi Yezer had said in the first Braisa. Ben Aze and Kedem Shtoi say, Ben Aze says the amount of time to drink it, which is what Rabbi Yeshua had said in the first Braisa. Rabbi Akiva and Kedem Litzvos Vesa. Rabbi Akiva had said the amount of time to roast an egg, which in the first Braisa was Ben Aze. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and Kedem Goyma. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira said the amount of time that it would take to swallow it down, which in the first Braisa was Rabbi Akiva. So in short, in other words, we have almost the same Tanoim, but their opinions are all mixed up compared to the first Braisa. We have Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Ben Azai, and Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, five of the six Tanoim that we had at the beginning of the, in the first half of the first Braisa at the top of the Amud, but not one of them is saying the same thing as he said in the first Braisa. Each one is saying something that was attributed to a different Tana in that first Braisa. So what's going on over here? So the Gemara starts off, because Sakadaita Hainu Hakof, well, first of all, now one noticeable difference is that there's in the terminology of the first shear, there's a little bit of a difference. In the Braisa, at the top of the Amud, it used the expression Hakof Stekel. Here, in this one, it used the word Chazora Stekel. So the Gemara says, Sakadaita Hainu Hakof Stekel, Hainu Chazora Stekel. So we would assume that the word hakofas deko and chazoras deko mean the same thing, and therefore you have a problem. Hasam Amar Rabbi Shmuel kadeh hakofas deko or polig Rabbi Eliezer alei. There you have Rabbi Shmuel is the one who says hakofas deko, the time it takes to go around a palm tree, and Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. Hacham Amar Rabbi Eliezer kadeh chazoras deko, and here Rabbi Eliezer himself says chazoras deko. If we assume that chazoras deko and hakofas deko are the same thing, then what's going on over here? The answer is they're not the same thing. Hakofa means how long it would take to walk around the palm tree on foot. Chazora would mean if you bend a branch of the palm tree in one direction, how long will it take to go back in the opposite direction? Which at the bottom of the Amud, Rav Ashi, a few lines after we go through the opinions in the Braisa, then the Gemara is going to ask then Rabbi Ashi is going to ask what that means, if it means the amount of time that it would take to go completely in the opposite direction, or just the time that it would take to get back to its original position. So we'll get to that soon. But in any case, Chazoras Dekel and Hakofas Dekel don't mean the same thing, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer is not contradicting himself, because before when Rabbi Shmuel said hakafas dekel, the amount of time it takes to walk around a palm tree, Rabbi Eliezer is saying no, it's the amount of time that it would take when you bend a branch of a palm tree, how long it would take to go back in the opposite direction. So still though, the Gemara says hostam kedem mziga. Still though, you have that. I skipped a little bit. Sorry. So there are two different things. Well, then the question is, boy Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi asks, hakofa beregel chazora beruach. So boy Rav Ashi chazora beruach. Does that mean when we talk about chazora beruach means, in other words, sorry, not when you bend the twig. Not when you bend the branch, but rather when the branch sways in the wind, how long does it take to sway back? So now, Boi Rav Ashi. So what does that mean? Ki heche de ozel v'hoder osi. Do we mean the amount of time that it would take for the branch to blow in the wind in one direction, v'hoder osi, and then go back to its original position? Or maybe it's not, maybe it needs more than that. Maybe it's the amount of time that it takes for it to go back and forth and come back to its original position. When you think about it, when a branch blows in the wind, so you have, it'll blow in one direction, then, you know, every reaction begets an equal and opposite reaction, so then, naturally, then it will then tend to bend back in the other direction, about as much as it did in the first direction, and then afterwards it'll vibrate back and forth a little bit, and eventually it'll hold still. So that's what Rashi is asking. Are we talking about the amount of time that it would take for the branch to bend from its original position and go back to be in the same position that it was before on its way to going in the other direction? Or are we talking about the amount of time that it would actually take for it to keep going, to keep vibrating back and forth until it stands still again? And the Gemara says, Teku, we don't know the answer to that. Which Tosfos points out. Now, why doesn't he have a better question? Why isn't he asking what size palm tree are we talking about, or what size branch are we talking about? So the answer is the same way as with the Mezigas HaKos, where Rashi said before that a kos by default means a revius, and the same way by a number of the other shiurim, where it's going to mean an average size thing of that, an average size egg, an average size fire, et cetera, the same way that Rashi knew we meant an average size branch of an average size palm tree. So his question wasn't that. His question was only within that itself, when the branch goes, are we talking about the amount of time that it takes for it to go from its original position, and then for a fraction of a second be back in its original position on its way to blowing in the other direction, or do we mean the total time that it takes to vibrate and go back and forth? Okay. Still, the Gemara asks, fine, but still, in the first Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer had said, so fine, we've said that Rabbi Eliezer is not contradicting himself, because we said Hakofas Dekel, which was Rabbi Shmuel's opinion, and Chazoras Dekel, which in the second Braisa is Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, we said are two different things. One's the amount of time it takes to walk around it, and the other is the time it takes for the branch of it to go back and forth. Fine, but still, Hosam Omer Rabbi Eliezer, in the first braise, he said, it's the amount of time that it would take to mix water into wine. And in the second braise, he's saying it's the amount of time for the branch of the palm tree to go back and forth. So what does he hold? I mean, my answer is, I divide, chad shiurahu. They're both the same shiur. It's just expressed in two different ways. Again, you know, nowadays, we would just say, each one would say it in a certain number of seconds or minutes or what have you. Since they didn't have clocks or watches and they had to estimate based on natural phenomena that they see, then Rebbe Eliezer came up with two different ways of describing it. One in terms of the amount of time it would take to mix water into wine, and the other one, the amount of time that it would take for an average sized branch of a palm tree to go back. Next, let's deal with Rabbi Yeshua. In the first braise, Rabbi Yeshua said it's the amount of time that it takes to drink the mixed cup of wine. Here he's saying it's the amount of time for mezigas hakos, to mix them. Here, the Gemara knows it's obviously not the same thing. That's obviously not the same amount of time. So we can't answer like with Rabbi Eliezer that it's the same thing. So the Gemara answers, So Rabbi Yeshua in both braises means the amount for both, the amount of time that it takes to mix the cup and to drink it. So therefore, in effect, in other words, Rashi says what he's doing is when he says l'shtoisei, he's referring back to what Rabbi Eliezer says. Rabbi Eliezer, you're saying it's just the amount of time it takes to mix them? No, I would say it's not only the time it takes to mix them, but also the time it takes to drink them. You have to add that as well. Well, the Gemara asks, why do we need that answer? Why don't we just answer like before that they're both the same shear? And the answer is in pain. I'm Rabbi Eliezer, because then he'd be saying the same thing as Rabbi Eliezer. And since obviously in both braises he's disagreeing with Rabbi Eliezer, so we can't just say that it means that he and Rabbi Eliezer, that Rabbi Eliezer in the first braise and Rabbi Yeshua in the second braise would be saying the same thing. Necessarily, we have to be saying that Rabbi Yeshua in both braises is saying, in each braise, he's saying half of what he says. So in the first braise, he says, "Kedei l'shtoisei," meaning, in addition to you, Rabbi Eliezer's Kedela Moisvei, it also Kedem Zigas Hakos, it also requires Kedela Shtoisei. I don't know. In the second Brisa, he says that don't think I mean only to drink it; I mean also to mix it and to drink it. Okay, so that takes care of Rabbi Yeshua. Next, Hosam Omar Ben Azek Kedel Litzlus Beta Hachi Omar Hachi Omar Hacha Omar Kedela Goyim. Hasam Omer ben Azai the litzus beitza hocha Omer kedev shtoisei. In the first braisa, Ben Azai says the amount of time it takes to roast an egg. In the second braisa, he says the amount of time it takes to drink the mixed cup of wine. And the answer is again, I divide chad shiurahu. Again, those are two different ways of expressing the same thing. So Rabbi Yeshua. So far we have Rabbi Shmuel is only in the first braisa. He says the amount of time to walk around a palm tree. Rabbi Eliezer appears in both braises. He says it's the amount of time to mix a cup, which is also equivalent to the amount of time that it takes for the branch of the palm tree to go back and forth. Rabbi Yeshua says it's not just the time it takes to mix the cup; it's the time it takes to mix and drink it. Ben Azai says only the amount of time it takes to drink it, which is also the equivalent of the amount of time that it would take to roast an egg, meaning, again, an average egg on an average fire. Okay. Next one. In the first braise, Rabbi Akiva says the amount of time it takes to swallow down the egg. In the second braise, he says the amount of time it takes to roast it. So what does he mean? And the answer is, again, like with Rabbi Yeshua, he means the amount of time it takes to roast it and to swallow it down. Again, like Rabbi Yeshua before, he's referring back to the previous opinion. Just like Rabbi Yeshua is saying, you, Rabbi Eliezer, said that it means the amount of time to mix a cup of wine, and I'm saying not only to mix, but also to drink, the same way, Ben Azai and Rabbi Akiva. Ben Azai is saying the amount of time it takes to roast the egg, Rabbi Akiva is saying not only to roast it, but also to swallow it. And again, the Gemara asks, why not answer that it's both the same shear? And again, the answer is, because then Rabbi Akiva is going to be saying exactly the same thing as Ben Azai. And we can't have that. The whole point is there's a machloekus over here, which by the way, Tosfos points out, for that matter, it would come out the same as Rabbi Huda ben Beseva in the second braisa, because he also says kedeva goyma. So that's what Rabbi Akiva means. He means both. Hosam Amar Rabbi Huda ben Beseva kedeva goyma sholosh beitzim zuachazu. In the first braisa, Rabbi Huda ben Beseva says it means the amount of time it takes to swallow down 3 eggs, one after the other. Hocham kedeva goyma. And here he's saying the amount of time it takes to swallow it, pashpus meaning one egg. So what is it? One egg or 3 eggs? The answer is l'dvarav d'Rabbi Akiva kama. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is referring back to what Rabbi Akiva says, and he's saying like this, Rabbi Akiva is saying you need to have the amount of time it takes to roast the egg plus the time it takes to swallow them down. So Rabbi Yehuda says instead of having to use two different actions, instead, he says to Rabbi Akiva, you might as well define it by only one action, namely the swallowing, and that would be kedela gamea sholosh beitzim zuachazu, the amount of time that it would take to swallow 3 eggs one after the other, dahainu tzliyog mia, which equals the amount of time that it would take to roast them and to swallow them. So in other words, he's not really arguing with Rabbi Akiva. He's saying, given that now we understand that you, Rabbi Akiva, are saying that it means both actions, the roasting and the swallowing. Why bother with that? Instead, just use one tola, which is to swallow it. And you should know the amount of time that it takes to swallow 3 eggs is going to be equivalent to the amount of time that it takes to roast 1 egg and then to swallow it. So that takes care of all of the opinions that were repeated between the two braises, and so we've shown how they don't contradict each other. Now let's go through in the first braise, we had several more opinions. We said Rabbi Eliezer ben Yumi Omer Kadesh Yikshav Gaudi Nima, that he said it's the amount of time that an expert weaver would take to retie the two ends of a snap thread. So Boy Rav Ashi, Demirachak or Demakarin. Do we mean where the two ends are far apart from each other, where it takes a little bit of time to stretch one towards the other, or are we talking about where the two ends are right near each other and all he needs to do is knock them together? And again, the answer is take. These takers are not going to be are not really going to be negay al halacha, because in the end, as far as the opinions over here, we follow Rabbi Akiva. We have a general rule, halacha ki Rabbi Akiva mechavei roi, that when Rabbi Akiva is arguing against individual tanoim, the halacha is like him. So even though it's not one individual tana, many of them, nevertheless, the halacha follows him, and the amount of time is considered to be the amount of time that it would take to roast an egg and swallow it, which again, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, is saying would also be the equivalent of the time that it would take to swallow 3 eggs one after the other. So therefore, all the other ones, we need to know them because they're part of Torah, but they're not in the Gehel HaHalacha, therefore, the takus over here shouldn't bother us too much. They're not in the Gehel HaHalacha. So, the next one was, Hanan ben Pinchas said, Kadesh Toshit Yadol Sech Pia Lito Kesem, that Hanan ben Pinchas said it would be the amount of time that it would take for a woman to stick her hand into her mouth to remove a splinter that was stuck between her teeth. So, Boy Rav Ashi, Gemahadak or Deloy Mahadak. Are we talking about where the splinter is wedged in tightly, or are we talking about where it's loose in there and you can get it out easy? And again, take. Again, we're not sure. Next, we said Plimoy Omer. We said Plimoy said another shear Kadesh Toshit Yadol Asal Little Kicker, the amount of time that it would take for her to stick her hand into a basket to get a loaf of bread. So here you have several different variables. Now, again, Tosfos points out that as far as the size of the loaf of bread, fine, that we can assume that it means that it means an average size loaf. But still, Boy Rav Ashi, the Mahadek or the Mahadek. First of all, is the bread tightly wedged in the basket or not? And also, b'chadata oy ba'atika. Are we talking about a new basket or an old one? A new basket, you have the little ends. Baskets are typically woven out of like lulav leaves or a rubber leaves or something like that. And they often have in them, and so you have, when you first make it, yeah, whatever it is, whatever kind of branches or whatever that's woven out of, you often have little sharp pieces sticking out inside the basket. Over time, those generally wear off. So now, are we talking about a new basket where you still have those, or are we talking about an old basket where those have already worn off and therefore it's easier to get out the bread? Also, b'chamima or b'krira. Are we talking about hot bread or cold bread? So Rashi points out, hot bread, it's softer, therefore it's more easily going to slip out of your grasp. So therefore you have to pick it up more carefully, more gently. As opposed to a cold loaf of bread, you'd be able to pick up faster. Another question. Rav Ashi continues. B'dechiti or b'desari. Are we talking about wheat bread or barley bread? Wheat bread is smoother, so therefore it's more easily gonna slip out of your grasp. And again, you'd have to take more care pulling it out of the basket. And b'rakicha or b'akusha. Are we talking about hard bread or soft bread? So the Gemara answers teiku again. It says teiku about all of these questions. But again, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva that it has nothing to do with taking bread out of a basket anyway. It has to do with the amount of time that we said that it would take to roast an egg and swallow it, or Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira says the equivalent would be to swallow 3 eggs one after the other. So therefore, all these takers are not negei halacha. Okay, the Gemara continues. Amar of Yitzchak bar of Yosef, Amar of Yishmon, kol echad ve'echad ba'atzmai shir. You should know that each one of these tanoim evaluated the amount of time based on himself, based on how long he himself takes with beer. So and based on that is how he decided what the shiur, what the correct shiur should be. So the Gemara asks, well, Ika ben Azai delin nasiv. What do you mean though? In the list we have ben Azai, and ben Azai never got married. So how does he have any experience to be able to bring the bear on this? So the Gemara answers, three answers. He both came in nasiv of Perashava. One answer is that ben Azai did get married and then he divorced his wife. And there is, in fact, so Rashi refers to a Gemara in Yevamos where Ben Azai says that even though it's true, the Gemara talks about over there about the importance of period of Arivia, the mitzvah of Truvu. But Ben Azai says, what should I do? Nafshi choshka b'Torah. My soul has such a yearning for Torah that I can't give that up to go and marry and have a normal family life. As far as the world having to continue to exist, fine. Other people can have children and they'll keep the world going. It's not necessary for me to. So the Gemara is asking that he never got married. So again, one answer is that he did get married, but then he got divorced. And in fact, there are sources that suggest that there's midrashim that mention him marrying a daughter of Rabbi Akiva. Actually, I think that same Gemara in Yevamos mentions it that he either did kiddushin, they read him a shidduch with the daughter of Rabbi Akiva. I think the Gemara there actually has different versions, whether he just did kiddushin with her and never went through with the next stage of it, Nisuvin, or whether he actually married her and then divorced her. So our Gemara then is the first answer in our Gemara, he was going according to the version that he did in fact marry her and then consummate the marriage, but then afterwards he divorced her. So that's the first answer. A second answer is that you're right, Ben Azai himself doesn't have practical experience of this, but he heard from his Rebbe what the Shira was, and he's quoting that. A third answer is the secret of Hashem goes to those who fear him. In other words, because he was a great Talmud Chacham and Tzaddik, therefore Hashem revealed to him that secret. And therefore, at how long it takes, and therefore he knew, even though he never had any experience of it himself. An interesting thing, Sifrei Kabbalah bring different things of who Ben Azai was a Gilgal of. One interesting idea is was a Gilgal of Shammai HaZaken, because we find that Shammai prevented a number of people from becoming Gerim, as you have a famous story in Shabbos, or would have prevented rather, but then they went to Hillel and became Gerim. So therefore there was this idea like he didn't cause that Jewish Neshamas came into the world, and therefore Ben Azai, who did the same thing, was his Gilgal. There's also an idea that relates to Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, who the Gemara tells us in Barachas didn't want to get married until he became very sick, and Yeshaya HaNavi told him that he's going to die as a result of not doing period of Arivia, and then changed his mind and married Yeshaya's daughter. So there's an interesting explanation of the Kabbalah that Ben Azai is a Gilgal of these various Chachamim, and therefore when we say over here that he heard from his Rebbe or Soda Hashem Liyarev, might refer to actually what he learned in his previous Gilgal. We mentioned on Amud Aleph, in connection with the opinion of Plimoy, we quoted the pasuk Ki ba'ad isha zoyna ad kikar lochem. So now the Gemara is going to go in and douch in this pasuk. So again, the simple meaning of the pasuk is something along the lines of that when a person gets involved with a zoyna, then eventually he may end up being down to his last loaf of bread because he's going to end up wasting his money on her, and it's going to cause that Hashem is going to cause him to lose his wealth. But now the Gemara is going to find other meanings in that pasuk. So the Gemara says, Dorosh Rav Avira. The Rav Avira gave a drasha. Zimnin Amala Meshmei de Rav Ami, Zimnin Amala Meshmei de Rav Asi. Sometimes he said in the name of Rav Ami, sometimes in the name of Rav Asi, because he had learned it from both of them. Kola Oichal Lechem, Blen Tilos Yudayim. If a person eats bread without washing his hands, Pi'ilu Baal Isha Zoyn. It's as if he had, it's considered as bad as if he had relations with a woman who's a Zoyn. Now, what's the connection? Now, he's going to douch in it from the pasuk. But what's the deeper connection? What does one have to do with the other? So Tosfos Shatz, excellent on the side of the Amud over here, explains that when a person eats without washing, he's eating in a hefgudika way, like in a way where he's not paying attention to the rules of how you're supposed to eat, which includes that you're supposed to wash. And the same way, that's exactly what an Isha Zona is, that she doesn't pay attention to the rules of who she's supposed to and not supposed to be with. So therefore, there's a similarity between them. So Shanema, Kiva ad Ishazona ad Kikar Lochem, as the pasuk says, because of, or in the presence of an Ishazona until a loaf of bread. So in other words, he's doubting that because of the Avera that a person does with a loaf of bread is as if he had relations with a Zona. And Mao Shah points out there's a certain connection on a poshika level as well, that actually the Gemara elsewhere mentions, so there is the idea that Znus causes a person to become poor. We find other psukim in Mishlei that express that idea, and a person who doesn't wash before bread also becomes poor, as the Gemara tells us in Shabbos. So therefore there is in fact a direct connection between these two things. However, Omar Rava, but Rava says in that case, then the pasuk doesn't really fit with the Derasha. Hi, ba'ad isha zayna ad kikar lochem. In that case, then what is the pasuk saying? Because of an isha zayna up to a loaf of bread, it should be the other way around. Ba'ad means because of this, you reach the other thing. So therefore, so what are we saying? So ba'ad, in other words, how does the pasuk go? Ba'ad isha zayna ad kikar lochem, implying that the isha zayna comes first and the kikar lochem comes second. So according to your drasha, it should be the other way around. Ba'ad kikar lochem ad isha zayna mivar lo. The pasuk should be saying the other way around. Because of a kikar lochem, therefore a person comes up to, meaning he's considered as severe an aveda as if he had relations with an isha zayna. The way you have it, to Rav Avida, he says it's backwards. Ella Omar Rava, so rather Rava Darshan the pasuk different. It means that a man who has relations with an isha zona, in the end, his punishment is going to be that he's going to become so poor that he's going to be begging, that he's going to be begging for a loaf of bread. So closer to the pshat of the pasuk. Another drasha in this connection, Amar of Zrika, Amar of Elazar, Kolam is Zalzal and Atilas Yadayim, a person who is careless with Atilas Yadayim, and Rashi explains, Mizalzal means that, which by the way, Rashi points out, Rava's problem with Rav Avira's drasha was not because of the order of the pasuk per se, because sometimes you find that psukim are darshan out of order. Sometimes you have that the pasuk puts the cause, so usually you have the cause would be the food before the effect, but sometimes you have the pasuk puts the effect before the cause. That's not what's bothering Rava. What's bothering Rava is the ba'ad, and ad, where the word ba'ad means because of, making it clear that the isha zona is the cause and the ad tikar lochem is the result. So therefore, that's what leads Rava to darshan, and that's what it means when a man gets involved with an isha zona, then he ends up being down to his life, he ends up having to beg for a loaf of bread. Continues the Gemara. Omer of Zirka, Omer of Elazar, Kolam Zalzim, and Atilas Yadayim, Nekum and Olam. If a person is careless with Atilas Yadayim, and careless means it actually says that he regularly eats without washing his hands, then Nekum and Olam, then he's uprooted from the world. In other words, he loses his place in Olam Hazeh, and then maybe in Olam Abba as well. And the reason is because a person who's over on Divrei Chachamim is Chayev Misa. Rashi refers to a Gemara elsewhere that says that, and that quotes a pasuk from Kehelis. Actually, then Tosfos asks, in that case, then in that case, why are we mentioning specifically the Tilos Yadayim? The same is true of any Din Dirabbanan. So Tosfos explains that no, Nekum and Olam doesn't necessarily mean that he loses his life, it means that he becomes poor. So he becomes poor, and therefore he's suffering the problems of poverty. So there is the idea that ha'overal dibur chacham chayiv misa. That's a general thing for a person who's overal dibur chachamim. Here, in addition, we're saying that a person who's mezalzim and tilos yadayim, then not only that, he also ends up becoming poor and suffering from that. So let's talk about some dinim in the tilos yadayim. Amar apchiva ashi amarav, mayim rishonim tzarech shiagbiya yadav amayla. When you're washing the first water, when you're washing the Tilas Yadayim before eating, you have to lift up your hands upward, meaning that your fingers should be pointing upward so that the water goes down towards your wrists. The reason is, and then so the Gemara is going to explain in a couple of lines why that is. But you have to do that. You have to make sure. In short, you have to make sure that the water from beyond your wrists does not go and flow downwards towards your fingers. So therefore, your fingers have to be pointing a little bit upward. my machronim. On the other hand, when you're washing my machronim at the end of the meal, sorach shiyashpil yodav lamata, there on the contrary, you have to have that your fingers are pointing downward. Now, one idea behind my machronim is because there might be melach sedoimis on your hands, but not necessarily is there melach sedoimis. But there's also the point that there's also the point in those times, particularly they used to eat with their bare hands, so therefore you'd also have all the grease and all the everything from the food would be on your fingers, so you want to make sure that all of that goes off your hands and goes into the container or whatever it is that you're washing my macronym into rather than remaining on your hands. So therefore your fingers have to be pointing downward. So the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hachi, we learn similarly in a Braisa, Hanoto Yodav Tzorach She'Gvia Yodav L'Maila, exactly that, when you're washing hands before the meal, you have to have your hands pointing upward, and the reason is, Shema Yetzu Amayim Chutz L'Perek, because otherwise, the water might go beyond the wrist, Perek may mean the joint, so here it means the joint of the wrist, the Yasu V'Yitamo Seidayim, and then they'll flow back onto your hands, and then they'll be Matame your hands. Now what happens is like this, when you wash, why is it that we wash multiple times? Why do we not just wash one time on each hand? The idea is, so midrabanon, you know, a person's hands are tame. Midrabanon, a person's hands are sheni l'tumah. So what happens is, so when you wash the first time, that makes your hands tahor, but the water itself on your hands remains tame. Then you wash a second time, and that is metahor, the water that remained on your hands. We have minhag Chabad. It's to wash three times. That's based on something that it says in Hagoyis Oshri in the Hagoyis on the Rosh in Masechta Chulin, and it has to do with the fact that your hands may not. Basically, it has to do with the fact that your hands may not be completely clean before you wash, and then therefore the first washing will remove any dirt that was there that would otherwise be a chatzitza, and then the second and the third times accomplish what we're saying over here, what Rashi is quoting over here from the Mishnayos and Yudayim. So the point is, in other words, but this whole concept of the water being metahor your hands and then itself becoming tummy and then you wash again, that only applies up until the wrist. So therefore, what happens is if you wash the first one and the water goes the first time, the first pour, it goes beyond the wrist. Then you wash the second time. What happens is if any of that water that was beyond your wrist drips back onto your hands, it's going to make them tame again because that water did not become tahor with the second washing. So therefore you need to have your fingers pointing upward to avoid that problem so that any water that goes beyond your wrist will stay there and won't dribble back down onto your hands. So that's how you have to do that. And that's that. And then on the other hand, with my machronim, again, we're saying the idea is you want to remove any melach sedoimis. You want to make sure that the Rashi mentioned the point, actually, you want to make sure that all the grease and dirt and whatever from the food and goes off your hands and then dribbles off your hands. And then the Rambam also adds the point, given that the idea, behind my machronim is because of melach sedoimis, then you want to make sure that all the salt goes off your hands and doesn't remain there. More dinim about metilas yadayim. Amar Rav Abahu, dinim and then statements about metilas yadayim. Amar Rav Abahu, kol ha'ochel pasul in nigov yadayim. If a person eats bread without drying his hands, so now he washed very well, he did the two or three washings, and now his hands are tahor. But the problem is now his hands are also wet. So now if he picks up the bread, then it's going to be very, very, very yichy and unattractive to eat because it's going to get soaked through with water. So therefore, you have to dry your hands first. So if you don't do that, says Rabbi Bahu, kilo oichel lechem tomei. It's as if he's eating bread which is tomei. Shenema, as you find a pasuk in Yechezkel, Hashem tells Yechezkel to act out various things that are going to represent what's going to happen at the time of the Churban and the Golos. One of them is Hashem tells him to make a certain kind of bread, a sort of bread or stew made up of many different kinds of grains. This is it. You have in the health food stores, the Ezekiel bread is based on that recipe. And Hashem tells him to prepare it in a very unappetizing way. And Hashem tells him this is how, by Yemar Hashem, Kocha Yochlu, Bnei Yisrael, Slachmam Tomei, the Gomer, this is Hashem says, this is how the Jewish people are going to be eating their bread tame among the nations where they go into Golos. Meaning, in other words, that we see that something disgusting and unattractive can be called tame. So therefore, so here also, when a person washes and then eats the bread with wet hands, then also it's considered tame in a similar vein to that. Which in fact, by the way, you have that, this is why. So when it comes to make, when it comes to saying the bracha al matzilas yadayim, we don't do, usually you say a bracha on a mitzvah before you do the mitzvah, not after, but here you wash first, then you say al matzilas yadayim. Why is that? So the reason is because you don't want to make the bracha when your hands are tummy. But what you do is, given that the rubbing your hands together and the drying them is considered part of the washing as well, based on what we're saying over here in the Gemara, then you do that. You say the bracha before you dry your hands, and that way it's still considered in a sense as though you're doing it before the mitzvah was completed. Now, so before we got into this discussion of Tilos Yadayim by quoting half of a pasuk, we quoted the half of the pasuk, Kiba ad Isha Zona ad Kikar Lothem. So now the Gemara is going to douch in the other half of the pasuk. And the pasuk continues, Umay the Ashes Ish Nefesh Ikara Sotsu. What does the second half of the pasuk mean? It says, a married woman will ensnare, will trap a precious soul. So now the word Yukara can mean precious, but also the word Yoker can mean gaiva gift. The word yoker means honor, so therefore it refers to a person who feels a sense of honor, who feels a sense of gaiva. So Amr Abhiba Abba Amr Abhiba, and Kol Adam Shiesh Begasis Aruach, a person who is proud, a person who is a baal gaiva, eventually he will stumble over an Eishes Ish. He's going to end up having relations with an Eishes Ish. Maybe inadvertently, but still. Shenema, the Eishes Ish, Nefesh Yukara Sotsud, as the Pasuk says, the Eishes Ish will ensnare, will trap the Nefesh Yukara, Yukara, meaning the one that holds itself high and proud. So therefore, therefore he's going to wind up stumbling over an Eishes Ish and being Mizanah. What's the connection? Why does one bring to the other? So the Iyun Yaakov and En Yaakov bring because the Gemara mentions elsewhere that when a person becomes a Baal Gaiva, he loses his Chochma. So therefore, when he loses his Chochma, then he winds up with the Ruach Shtus. We learned a few days ago, that we learned yesterday actually, that Ein Odom Over Avera, Elim Ken Nichnas, the Ruach Shtus. So now the result that he lost his Chochma is that now he has the Ruach Shtus, which comes to causing him to do an Avera. On the previous one, by the way, about the Uichel Nigov Yadayim, when a person washes and eats without drying his hands, by the way, Maharsha mentioned another reason why the Gemara Daushin, why it brings the Pasuk from Yechezkel, why the Gemara refers to washing the hands. Maharsha, by the way, points out another angle on it. The word, the Pasuk continues, the Gemara doesn't quote this half of the Pasuk, but it says that Hashem says, I will make this happen, Bagoyim Asher Adichem Shom. Now, the simple meaning of adichem means that I will push them away, in other words, that I'll send them into Golos among those nations. But Marshall points out the word adichem can also be darshin as related to the word hadocha, which means washing. Therefore, we understand that there's a connection between washing and bread, which is tameh, and that's the connection that Rabbi Bohu said about not drying his hands. So again, so now we're saying the other drasha that was saying that a person who has gasas aruach is going to end up being nichshol in an eishes ish. Maushah gives a different explanation. What's the connection? So what's the connection there again? What's the connection between Gassus or Ruach and an Ashes Ish? So Rashi says what it means is like this. The first half of the pasuk, Ba'ad Isha Zona, Ad Kikar Lothem. That we said because a man gets involved with an Isha Zona, he winds up having to beg for bread. So what happens is, therefore, the Nefesh Yikara, the proud soul, he goes and starts chasing after the Eishes Ish, and eventually gets her and is Mizan. And again, Iyun Yaakov had said that point about Ruach Shtus. Maharsha says a different point. The Nefesh Gvoiha, the Nefesh Yikara over here refers to a person who is very vain and very concerned about his appearance. So you have, like, for example, with Yosef, for example, we know he's Masalsa Masaira, he's curling his hair, he's paying attention to his appearance, and then Potiphar's wife came to try to get him. So the same way over here, it means that he's busy, he's too involved in looking at his appearance, so therefore the result is that he may end up getting entrapped by an Ashesish. But the Gemara says, Omar Rabba, Kai Nefesh Yikara, then in that case, why are you using the word Nefesh Yikara, where the word Yoker literally means precious? Nefesh Gvoyam Yibarila, it should say, a high soul, a person who considers himself high, a Baal Gaiva. And also Rabba asks on this Durasha, he sucks with me, by the way. The expression should be that she entraps him. There's a few. It makes it sound like the nefesh yikara is the one to trap the isha. Now, why is that? So therefore, Rava says, Ela Amar Rava, Kol Abal, Eishes Ish. No, the drasha is different. What it means is, a man who has relation with an Eishes Ish, Afilu Lomad Torah, then even if he learned Torah, Dechtiv Bo Yekorehi Mipninim, about which the Pasuk says that the Torah is more precious than Pninim. Pninim is some kind of precious stone, rubies or whatever it is exactly. Anyway, and we doubtion that the word Mipninim means, Mikoyin Godel Shemichnas Lepnai V'Lepnim. A person who learns Torah is even greater than the Kohen Gadol who goes with Nayv Lefnim, who goes into the innermost part of the Beis Hamikdash. So a Talmid Chacham is even greater than that. One thing is that one thing is Mefoshim point out that in the pasuk over there in Mishlei where it says Yekorehim Mipninim, you actually have a Kriyoksin. The word is read Mipninim with two nuns, but it's actually spelt without the second nun. It's written as if it said Mipnoyim. So therefore, that leads the Gemara to Darshan that Pnoyim is like a double expression of Pnim. Anyway, so a Talmid Chacham is even greater than a Kohen Gadol who goes with Nayv Lefnim. Nevertheless, if he gets involved with an Eishes Ish, he Titzudenu L'Dinah Shel Gehenim, she will trap him and lead him to the Din of Gehenim, as we learned yesterday about that when a person does an Aveira, then it wraps him up and takes him, and then takes him to Gehenim. First, this discusses over here, what about if he does Tshuva, that still, he needs Tshuva, he needs Yisurim. So he can get out of it, but there can still also be, Gemara elsewhere mentioned Nitra Ben Olam, he's pushed out of the world. Tosfos mentioned distinctions. One might be if he had Yisurim versus not. Another would be if she bore a Mamzer from him, whereas the Alter Rebbe mentions at the end of Perek Ches in Tanya, that sometimes we have Mu'uvas Lo Yuchal Liska, and sometimes we have a crooked thing that can't be made straight, where a man was involved with an Eishes Ish or someone like that, and had children from her, where then it's much more difficult to do something about it, because as Zalta Deva said, you already have the Neshama came down and was in a slabish and a goof boss of a dumb. As we know, you have the famous story involving the Mitzvah Rebbe and the Baal Tshuva, where he was involved with a Goita and had children with her, and eventually his Tshuva was powerful enough to make that go away also, but that's an unusual thing. Usually you have, like Tosfos is saying over here, once a Mamzer is born, it's much more difficult to do Tshuva and to undo the effects of it. Okay, the Gemara goes on. So now that we talked about Gaiva, we started by talking about that a person who is a Baal Gaiva ends up Nichshol with Eishes Ish. So now, even though, fine, we said that Rava had slogged up that Drosha, nevertheless, though, the Gemara is going to go on for a little while now to talk about the problem of Gasus HaRuach, the problem of Gaiva. So Amar Rav Yechon Meshum Rav Shimon Yechoy, Kol Adam Sheyesh Begasus HaRuach, a person who is proud is a Baal Gaiva, Kilo Oved Abed Iskechavim, it's as if he's worshipping Abed Izzar. How do we know that? We have a Gzeder Shav, Ksiv Hocha, Toyav Asa Hashem Kog Valev. A Pasuk in Mishlei says, the abomination of Hashem is anybody who has a proud heart. Uchtiv Hasem, V'loisavi Se'eva Abisecha. In connection with Avodah Zarah, the Pasuk says, you should not bring Te'eva, you should not bring something disgusting into your house. So we see that there's a connection between those two things. Mao Shav points out a deeper point of the connection is that a person has within him a ruach tumah and a ruach tara. Hashem is with the person. Hashem's shchinah is with the person when he shows that he has the ruach tara, which is that he's humble. On the other hand, the ruach tumah is a power of avodah zarah. So therefore, it's as if he's worshiping avodah zarah because there's a connection between them. So that's what Rav Yechanan said in the name of Rav Shimon Yechoy. The Gemara continues. Rav Yechanan didday. Rav Yechanan himself doubting it differently. The Baal Gaiva is as if he's denying the essentialness of Hashem. Meaning, it was an Obed Avodah Zarah is bad enough. He worships Avodah Zarah, but at least he understands that Hashem exists. Rav Yechanan himself is saying the Baal Gaiva is even worse, as if he's denying Hashem completely. As the Pasuk says, your heart will become proud and you'll forget Hashem. So we see that a person who becomes proud amounts to that he's forgetting Hashem. Again, Maal Shah says that the spirit of Tuma that's in him causes him to forget Hashem, who is the source of Tavah. Rav Chama Bachanina Amar Kila Ba'a Kol Arayis. Rav Chama Bachanina says that a Baal Gaiva is somebody as if he had relations with all the Arayis. how do we see a connection between Arias and Gaira? Ksivacha toyav as Hashem pogvalev. Again, you have the pasuk that we quoted before. The abomination of Hashem is anybody who's proud. Ochtivas and kias kolot te'ev Yisrael v'goymer. And then the pasuk says, v'Arias, all of these disgusting things, all these abominations the goyim did in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they are, and they're, and therefore they're being kicked out of the land. So we see that again, te'ev can mean Arias as well. What's the connection? Marsha says, because once he's about Gaiva and he has a spirit of Tumah in him, so therefore that leads him to the spirit of Tumah of Arias as well. Ula Omakila Bona Bum. Ula says it's not only that, as if he built a bummer to worship of a desire. The pasuk says, stay away from the person who the neshama is in his nose, because what is he counted for? So don't read bameh, but rather bama, which is a place that's made to worship Avodah Zarah. So in other words, you have a person who feels himself very important. Hashem neshama ba'apa. He feels like his neshama is in his nose. So therefore, stay away from such a person because he is considered like a bum. In the wedding mimer and in the Chododi, it talks about an idea behind it. Also, the Gemara mentions elsewhere that you're not supposed to go greet somebody you engage in business or whatever before davening, because then it's also considered by men nachshavu. And it explains over there that neshama ba'apo means that his neshama is only in his nose, like it hasn't really penetrated into the rest of his body. Like, it was only after davening is it actually going to do that. So here it might be a similar thing as well, that the Baal Gaiva only allows his neshama to remain in his nose and doesn't allow it to nefesh al kiss to penetrate and have an effect on the rest of his body. Maharal Shah points out also, of course, the word bomber itself means something high. That's literally what it means. And we had a drasha in Masechta Nedarim along those lines. Menachlio bomers, that a person might become high and proud. So therefore, so we're saying, in other words, that there's a connection between that and that. So we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, and we'll continue on the subject of Gaiva and other things related to that.